Hey there, thank you for listening to the Wiley Walker Show and Escaping Addictions. Today I'm going to talk about the coronavirus, give an update on that, and the government's $2 trillion stimulus package. Also, why is COVID-19 even taking place? Why is this happening? I also want to tell you a story about why we should not assume what the Word of God is trying to tell us. Stay tuned. Okay, welcome back to the show. As I said before, we're going to talk a little bit about the coronavirus, give a little update on what's going on. So, according to The Guardian, the coronavirus is still growing in the United States, and Vice President Mike Pence is overseeing the situation. So as far as most of you probably already know a lot about how the virus is operating and who it is affecting and stuff like that, but 80% of the people that catch the virus, most of them are just going to probably feel a mild case of the flu or pneumonia. They might have a fever or something like that. Most of those people are not going to even require any medical attention. But of course, as we all know, elderly people and people with diabetes or heart or lung disease are the most vulnerable. And up to this point, New York City is the city with the most cases, with about getting close to 54,000 cases and about 835 deaths. So that's pretty much what is going on with that, as far as mostly here. That's pretty much what's going on here in the United States. So it's still something that we need to be very mindful of, and we need to make sure that we're washing our hands and practicing social distancing and not putting ourselves at risk to catch the virus, because there's still a chance that if you catch it, it can cause you some serious problems, if not death. So be careful and wash your hands, and don't hug on anybody right now or shake hands, because you want to be here when the government sends out those stimulus checks, right? And speaking of the stimulus check, the long wait is over. As far as the stimulus relief for the American people. And I kind of jest about that. I mean, I don't think it's taken that long for them to come to an agreement. But the agreement is made, and so we can be checking our mailboxes and our bank accounts for those stimulus checks, which $1,200 can come in a lot handy at this point. Yeah, it definitely can come in a lot handy. I mean, you know, you have to go out and get your toilet paper. And you know what? I found some toilet paper the other day. I was in Walmart, and just so happened, when I got there, the shelves were empty, but they came out and they restocked somewhat some toilet paper. So I got me a 12-pack, and that should be more than enough to last through this pandemic. So that brings me to my next point as to why is this pandemic happening? All of a sudden, you have a situation where basically a third of the world is on virtual lockdown. People are being told to self-quarantine themselves and to stay as much as they can away from each other. You got people, you got the medical field is, you know, the medical field is worried about not being able to supply enough service to the public. We've already had situations in other countries where, such as Italy, where they had to let people die because they couldn't help them. There were too many people that were getting sick. So, and then you have, you know, travel being shut down. Everybody's thinking about, you know, the washing their hands, which that is good. But I mean, everybody's worrying about catching this virus. And this happened pretty suddenly to me, and you know, in my estimation. So why is it happening? To me, it's saying that God is trying to get our attention, and that even you could say that biblical prophecy is being fulfilled. There is scripture in Revelations that says that that there would be pestilence and disease would be released upon the face of the earth that would kill large amounts of people. There would be earthquakes, swarms of locusts. I had a friend sent me a text the other day, and he said, "Wiley, look," because he know I'm always talking about 666 and the end of time and things like that in Revelations. And so this friend of mine, which we go to church together, he sent me this, or he sent it to a group that a group text that we have going. He said, "Wiley, look, there's this article or whatever about swarms of locusts, swarms that was as large as New York City." When I first saw it, I thought it said locusts as large as New York City, and I thought he was just messing with me. But when I looked at it later, because I was at work when he sent it, but when I looked at it later, I saw that it said swarms of locusts as large as New York City, which that really made me go, wow, that's something. I mean, to me, that's the signs of the times, you know. So this pandemic, Corona, COVID-19, where did he get the 19 from? And so why is all of this happening? Well, to me, it's just basically proof, and it's evidence and testimony that just like in the days of Noah, that when man began to just constantly always be thinking about evil, thinking about themselves, they were, you know, there are scriptures saying that they were just having sex. And, you know, somebody like me thinks that it's also saying that there were angels on the earth, and that the angels were having sex with the women, and they were having these babies that were like almost heroic in nature, or they were you know, they became the men and women of renown in those times. And I guess, you know, a lot of stuff could have been going on, but like I'm about to talk about in a minute, I don't want to start assuming what scripture is saying or saying something that is not right. That, you know, we have so many different versions of what scripture is saying out today that it's insane. But so with this COVID-19, it just, you know, got me thinking like that, and thinking about, what is it, God, that you're telling us? So, but like I said, I don't want to assume anything when it comes to scripture, or start saying things that isn't said in scripture. I don't want to say something that scripture didn't say itself. And I had an experience one time with that. And I'll tell you that story right after this quick break. It's a story that I heard a man tell out of the Bible, and an assumption he made that wasn't true. Hey man, have you gotten yourself into an impossible situation? Have you lost everything, lost your job, lost your family, lost all your money, lost your home, and now you're stuck on the streets, and you seem like there is no hope and no way out? Well, I'm here to tell you that there is a way out. There are, in every major city, and a lot of small cities in the United States, there are homeless shelters. Places where you can go for free, and they will let you live there, eat there, sleep there in a safe environment where you can stabilize yourself and get the help necessary to get your life back. So look for your local homeless shelter or the Salvation Army in a city near you. All right, well, let's get to the story. And speaking of rescue missions, just like I was talking about the rescue missions, and there's always a place to go for people who don't have a place to go, this is where this story took place, in a rescue mission. And there was a certain person that came by to speak and teach the word of God. And I just have to let you hear what happened. But he told a story out of the Bible, and he came up with his own conclusion. And basically, there was a certain situation in where somebody was teaching us a story out of the Bible. A lot of you have probably heard of the story of Elijah and how Elijah healed the prince Naaman. And after he healed him, the prince wanted to reward Elijah, but Elijah didn't want a reward. But Elijah's servant went behind his back and ran the man down and ran the prince down and told him he wanted something, or, you know, basically telling him a lie, saying that Elijah, he made a mistake, because this was Elijah's cupbearer. So when the man was telling us a story, clearly at the time, I was in a homeless situation, to be honest. And I was at a mission. I was at the Nashville Rescue Mission. Shout out to NRC, NRM, Nashville Rescue Mission. And, you know, every day, somebody basically would come from a church and they would preach, teach, and stuff like that. So this guy came and he was teaching out of this book, and he was saying that, you know, he was telling this story about Elijah, which I'd heard the story before, but he had his own twist to the story. And he said that after he went to the prince, the wicked servant went to the prince and told him to lie and got the stuff from the prince. He went back to Elijah after he went and stored it all away. And Elijah said, well, you don't think that I saw what you did? So Elijah cursed the man with leprosy, which he just healed this prince of. He cursed his servant with leprosy for going in and doing that. So now, just like, it's weird because just like with leprosy, you know, it's similar. It's not similar to COVID in the fact of what they do, but it was similar that the people who had leprosy had to be quarantined away from the rest of the people. They had to be put outside of the gate because leprosy was contagious. And so this was some real social distance. I mean, they were outside of the city. They had to wait outside the gate. And they brought them food and stuff like that. So they were bringing them food, but eventually a famine took place and they couldn't bring them food anymore. So they were out there starving. And so his servant told the other lepers, well, look, what are we going to do? Are we just going to sit here and die? Or are we going to go and play our only card and hope we go to our enemies and ask them to feed us? You know, either way, if they kill us, we're going to die anyway. So this servant and these lepers, they went towards the enemy's camp. But before they got there, God made these enemies think that there was this army coming. And so they heard all of this commotion in this camp. They just fled and left. So by the time the lepers got there, there was nobody there, but there was all of these goods and there was food everywhere. So they are sitting there eating up the food and having a good time and getting their fill. And so this servant that was cursed with leprosy, he said, well, we need to take some of this back to the city, because they were starving in the city too. They were eating their children. You know, so they go back to the city and bring the food and save the day. All right. So now, because this servant, Gehazi, I think his name was, because he did the right thing, because if you really think about it, really, he could have had a resentment and an attitude and said, oh, I'm not, they didn't think about us. So forget them. You know, we're going to take all this for ourselves. But he didn't do that. He did the right thing. And so this was the point that God was making, and he was telling us a story. He said that, so at the end of the story, at the end of this chapter, whatever, it says that this servant handed Elijah his cup, which this is where the guy that was teaching us the story made the assumption that that must have meant then that God healed this servant. And because he wouldn't have been handing Elijah his cup if he still had leprosy, because you didn't go around people who had leprosy for fear that you would catch it. So he was making the analogy to us, you know, because we were in this position where we were, you know, in a homeless shelter and stuff like that. And he said it was basically saying that if we do like Gehazi and we do the right thing, and that God would heal us and restore us back to our stations, to our life. So it made sense what he was saying. But I always was, I was thinking, well, did God really heal him of leprosy? So I just happened to be reading in the Bible in the New Testament, because this story is in the Old Testament in the Kings with Elijah. And I just happened to be reading in the New Testament in the Gospels, and it had a section in there where they were talking about a lot of stuff that happened in the Old Testament. And it said, as in the days of old, when in the days of Elijah, when only Prince Naaman was cured of leprosy. I mean, it blew my mind when I saw this, really. I was like, wow, the Bible has just disproved this man's theory. So now I heard the Holy Spirit say, and you have to tell him that what he is saying is wrong, which I really kind of struggled with thinking about doing it, because this man was coming to the mission as a guest to come there and to uplift us and encourage us and to come and let us know that people are out there thinking about us and praying for us and stuff like that. I didn't want to go to that man and tell him that his theory was wrong, but I felt that God was telling me to do it. So the next time he came, a few weeks later, after he taught us, I went after the class and saw him in the hallway, and I told him, I showed him the verse. And when he saw it, I mean, I can't really say how he took it. I mean, he didn't really seem to take it well. I mean, he was kind of blown away, really. I was blown away when I saw the verse. And so, you know, but it just showed me that how we can't be going around making assumptions about what the word is saying, especially when we are saying things like we're assuming and we're saying, well, I believe that this is what this is saying because God is good and this is what he would do. So now we're trying to say that we think that we know the mind of God and we know what God would do in certain situations, which we really don't, because God is perfect and we are imperfect. We can't understand perfection. We don't know perfection. We can look at God's characteristics and we know basically what's right and wrong, because we know, like the Bible says, you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So anything you don't want somebody doing to you, you shouldn't do to somebody else. So if you know that when somebody do something to you and you feel like it's wrong, then you know it's wrong to do it to somebody else. So, but anyway, I always remembered that situation at the mission with that man at Statham. It happened over, 12 years ago. That was back in 2008. And I always remembered that. And that's what I took from it, that it was saying to me that don't assume that I know what God would do, or don't add something to the Bible, because then I'm saying what I think that God would do as if I know what the will of God is. And a lot of times, you know, you have so many different churches today, so many churches out here, and so many different beliefs, so many concepts about how to be saved and who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is. Are they three different entities? Are they one entity? And all of these different things. You have so many different kinds of religion. You have the Mormon religion. You have the Jehovah Witnesses, Seventh-day Advocates, you know, and all the other religions that basically kind of have the same concept, but different concepts maybe on how to be saved. You have some like the Pentecostals who think that you have to speak in tongues to be saved. You have the Baptists and so many different forms of Baptists. Basically, they think you go down the aisle and go to the preacher and you pray the sinner's prayer and you get baptized. You have the Presbyterians who believe that, you know, God chooses, that God is sovereign over everything, and God chooses those who, you know, God decides. There's not anything that we do. And I believe that on that level of believing, and I do go to a Presbyterian church. So, you know, we just have so many different theologies out here now, and so many people who believe whatever, you know, they want to believe. And, you know, it's a lot of it has to do with society and, you know, political correctness of today. Christians kind of get the brunt of all of the criticism as far as, you know, lifestyle choices, saying that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and things of that nature. So, but I mean, if you're a Christian, you have to believe that, and you have to stand by that. You have to die for it if needs be. So that is pretty much what, you know, I was thinking of today. You know, with all of the coronavirus, is all of the people that's infected with corona, all of the deaths. You know, it's a very scary time because sometimes it hits pretty close to home. You know, I know some people personally that have the coronavirus. And, you know, we also have the government, you know, with this stimulus bill. And, you know, after the fact, like next week, just watch and see what I tell you. Next week and after that, they're going to start having all of these debates about, well, the Republicans. Well, I won't say Republicans or Democrats. I'll say this side or that side. This side wanted to put this in the bill, or they had this in the bill so they can give this to this person. Or this side wasn't playing right, and they wasn't looking out for the American people. And, you know, you're going to have all that kind of stuff going on. And it's all, you know, and so government is another thing. Government is government. As far as, you know, we're Christians, you know, government is government. Government is going to be government. You got to pay your taxes. You got to follow the law and stuff like that. So government is here for a purpose, but we can't really get caught up in all of the little details and debates and arguments that they, you know, want to make about everything. And so when you have the coronavirus being the central story of the news now, I mean, it's on everybody's mind. And it's always something to keep us distracted from the real truth, which is that we are created by God to be here, to serve his purpose, to help other people, to love and worship him, to spread the word of his gospel. That's my belief. So I'm going to be the first one to follow my own advice. I'm going to keep my mind on that and do whatever I can to just spread his word and keep people's mind off of, you know, things that would just distract us all day, have us angry and upset and worried and fearful, you know. So I just want to thank you again for listening. And this, once again, is the Wiley Walker Show, Escaping Addictions. And addictions come in many forms, shapes, and sizes. And it could be addictions to shop, addictions to drugs, addictions to alcohol, addictions to sex, pornography, to food, to anything that that takes control of our life and we put it above everything else, that becomes our God, our addiction, and our master. So we need to escape those things so we can have more control over our lives, more freedom, more happiness, more health, and more peace of mind. Thank you for listening again, and I will hopefully see you again, talk to you again soon. God bless. Have a good day. I've been listening to Escaping Addictions with Wiley Walker. We hope you enjoyed the show. Keep the faith.